Okay, so just given the lateness of the hour, we'll start, then we'll try to finish 9:30 or thereabouts. If not tonight, then tomorrow night, certainly. Just wanted to pick up where we left off last time. So last time we had spoken, again, this is the second in the second installment in the question of opening food packages on Shabbos. Last time we devoted ourselves to the topic of ripping open sugar packets, and basically the way we came out after looking at the different issues is that the ripping per se is not really that big a deal. In other words, the ripping doesn't seem to be a violation of Kareya, the Torah prohibition against ripping on Shabbos, for a whole host of reasons. To some extent, one has to be concerned about ripping the words, but we pointed out that in the event that that's impossible, there's even what to rely upon to rip the words as well when opening up the sugar packet. As we indicated last time, each and every food package is its own set of issues where, you know, the discussion with regard to sugar packets, for instance, has absolutely nothing to do with the discussion with regard to what we're going to talk about tonight, which is opening up cans. So opening up cans is a whole different set of circumstances. And here, the major melachos, the major activities which are involved, are the Torah prohibitions of bona and sosa, building and demolishing. If you go through the list of the 39 melachos, the 39 prohibited labors on Shabbos, two of them are, they're a pair of melachos, two of them are bona and soser, building and demolishing. Now first, before we get into how that applies to opening up a tuna can on Shabbos, let's first raise the issue of how extensive the prohibitions against building and demolishing are. Again, as we mentioned last time, all of the prohibitions on Shabbos in some way relate back to what was done with the Mishkan, with the tabernacle in the desert. And there, the application of bona and soser, of building and demolishing, was a very broad one. The Mishkan was built, right? In other words, you took the boards, or Klal Yisrael took the boards, and, you know, the whole apparatus of the Mishkan, and they erected it. And then, you know, when it came time to dismantle it and to move from place to place, they were soser it. They demolished it. They took it down. You know, they loaded it up on the wagons, and they moved it on to the next station, and they put it back up again. So the question poses itself, when the Torah prohibits building and demolishing, does that only apply to a structure, like a building? You know, building a building, demolishing a building, you know, I happen to teach at YU, they're building a building right opposite the building where I happen to be teaching. So, I mean, it's pretty cool. You know, every day, you know, you come in and they're adding something else, you know, to the building. Mamash watched the building come up from the ground up. So is that what's prohibited by the Torah? Or maybe the Torah is prohibiting something even beyond that, even on a smaller scale. Maybe even assembling or disassembling a utensil is going to be prohibited on Shabbos. In other words, if I had a cup that wasn't made out of styrofoam, right? But let's say I had a cup that was made out of different pieces of earthenware, and I were to glue them together on Shabbos, you know, and make a cup, or then, you know, conversely, to take a earthenware cup, to take a hammer and smash it and break it into a million pieces, is that also building and demolishing, or does building and demolishing only apply to a major structure like a building or part of a building or something like that, and not to these movable objects like kalim, like utensils? So the truth is, the halakhic term which is given to this question, whether building or demolishing applies only to big structures or also to little utensils, is the question of Yesh binyan bekalim or ein binyan bekalim. Is there building when it comes to vessels, or is there no building when it comes to vessels? Building only applies to big things, right? But to put together a cup or to smash a cup, nah, that's not building. That's maybe other issues. But, you know, the issues of building and demolishing only apply to big structures. So which one is it? Yesh binyan b'kelim or ein binyan b'kelim? So it's interesting. Most medieval commentators on the Gemara assume, or they paskin, that ein binyan b'kelim, that when it comes to vessels, there is no problem of being bona or soser, of building or demolishing. If I build a building, that's building. If I put together the pieces of a cup and make a cup, that's not building. It may involve other prohibitions on Shabbos, but it's not building. If I take a hammer and I smash a cup on Shabbos, that's not demolishing. Demolishing means, you know, if I took a wrecking ball and I smashed a building, you know, that would be demolishing. But, you know, breaking apart a cup is not demolishing. Interestingly enough, Shulchan Aruch disagrees. And Shulchan Aruch takes the position, again, if you want to look it up, it's in Arachayim, the beginning of Siman Shin Yudalad, chapter 314 in Arachayim. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Hilchas Shabbos that the Shulchan Aruch paskins that yesh binyan b'kelim, that there is what to be concerned about. There is a concept of building when it comes to a utensil. There is a concept of demolishing when it comes to a utensil. So again, according to Shulchan Aruch, not that I'm looking to do this, but if I were to take a hammer and say, you know, this tape is really bothering me, I don't like the way the tape is coming out, I take a hammer, a sledgehammer, and, you know, knock out all three of the tapes all at once, right? So my destruction of the tape recorder, besides being rather wanton and unwarranted, would also be a violation if this was Shabbos, which would make running the tape recorder to begin with somewhat difficult. But if this was Shabbos, you know, smashing the tape recorder would be a violation of soser, of demolishing on Shabbos. I'm not demolishing a building, but I am demolishing a utensil. Okay, so that's by way of introduction. So at this point, you're probably wondering to yourself, okay, that's very nice and good. I came to learn about tuna cans, and the rabbi's talking about taking a sledgehammer to tape recorders. You know, where's he going to go with this? So this introduction is necessary to talk about the whole issue of tuna cans. So let's just take, it's not just tuna cans, but any metal can, in terms of opening not closing it, in terms of opening the metal can on Shabbos, because one of the main issue which is raised with regard to the cans is the question of building and demolishing as it applies to the tuna can. And it's just first necessary to establish that even though it's not a building, right, and as the tuna can is a very finite kind of vessel, nonetheless, since we paskin that yesh binyan b'kelim, that the concept of building and demolishing applies to small little utensils as much as it does to a big building or the like, that opens up the door to the problem of building and demolishing when it comes to these cans. We referred last week to a long tshuva, a long responsum that Rav Moshe Zatzal has to his brother-in-law, Nechemya Katz, who at the time was in Toledo. Rav Moshe wrote this from Russia. And in that very long tshuva, one of the issues which Rav Moshe speaks about, which we referred to last time, was the concept of ripping sugar packets. In that same tshuva, Rav Moshe spends a lot more time talking about opening up cans on Shabbos. And Rav Moshe says that opening up the can on Shabbos is going to be a violation of soser, of demolishing the can. Right? Why? Well, basically Rav Moshe argues the can as it is right now closed is a vessel. You are in part breaking or destroying the vessel in order to get the tuna fish out. Right? So in a sense, it's not that different from, you know, taking a wrecking ball to a floor of a building in order to extract something from the building via the hole which has been created. By virtue of removing the lid, you know, again, we're not talking about a detachable lid, right? Taking a lid off a jar is never going to be a problem. You know, even if it's vacuum sealed or something like that, you can break the vacuum seal on Shabbos. But, you know, using either a knife or a can opener or anything really to cut off what's now one solid piece of metal and remove it in order to get at what's inside, says Rav Moshe, that's going to be a problem of soser, of demolishing on Shabbos, and therefore is going to be prohibited. Now there's a very tantalizing line in Rav Moshe which I'm going to present to you. The bottom line of Rav Moshe's psak is that you can't open up a tuna fish can or any other kind of can on Shabbos because of the problem of soser, of demolishing. But there's a tantalizing line of thought which he raises but doesn't really pursue.
And for
so,
me, exactly.
Sorry?
On one side, yeah. Esoterically,
yeah.
But it also makes.
Oh, so that we'll get to in a little bit. So it's very interesting. Rav Moshe does not look at it from that perspective. We'll see in a few minutes. Someone else does. Another Gadol b'Yisrael does. But Rav Moshe very categorically does not look at it in that way. Shulchan Aruch mentions a concept in Hilchos Shabbos known as choslos. Choslos with a sof. So if you're writing it, it's ches vav sof, lamed vav sof. Right? Choslos apparently, again just trying to piece together the way they're described, choslos were apparently like wicker baskets which they used in the time of Chazal and the time of Shulchan Aruch as containers. And when it came time to use the item which was in the container, you ripped open the wicker basket, you took out what was inside, and you threw what had been the wicker basket away, right? I mean, it was the ancient equivalent of a wrapper or something like that. You know, it was a kind of wicker basket that was demolished. You tore it to shreds. You took out the thing which was inside. And then you threw away, the refuse of the basket. Says Rav Moshe, you might think to apply that concept of choslos to a tuna fish can, because after all, you're destroying the can, right? But you're destroying the can, and then you're going to throw away the can. Right? In other words, you're taking this can which is whole, you're destroying it, right? You're opening it up, you're going to use the tuna, whatever is inside, and then you're not going to keep the tuna fish can afterwards, you're going to throw it out, you're going to get rid of it, right? So you might think, says Rav Moshe, that it's similar to choslos, which in their very nature are meant to be disposable, and therefore not considered to be a problem of soser. However, says Rav Moshe in the Tshuva, that would be a wrong analogy, because people do use the tuna fish cans, or the cans, after the items are taken out. People do hold on to the cans, they utilize them, and therefore one can't really say that they're fully disposable the way the choslos are. Now, that's a very tantalizing line of thought which he opens up over there, because the truth is, now remember, Moshe writes this from Russia in the 1930s, where Taka in Russia in the 1930s, I could very much hear that they would do that. If you ask the average person in New York in 2008 whether they saved the tuna fish can after they opened it up, I suspect the average person would not, right? So it's a very tantalizing question which one asks reading the tshuva. Okay, so, is this psak of, would Rav Moshe maybe give a different psak if he was asked the question in 2008? So, unfortunately, we don't know what Rav Moshe would say in 2008. But again, to the best of my knowledge, up until 1986, he did not change his mind in terms of this. And as he did not, at no point, as far as I know, did he ever consider the tuna fish cans to be similar to choslos. In discussing this with some of my own chaverim, they've pointed out that some people, again, will use the tuna fish can, not just even out of poverty. Sometimes if a person paints, they'll keep paints in the tuna fish can, or they'll utilize the tuna fish can for various different kinds of little storage things around the kitchen. Again, not everybody does, but perhaps there are enough people that you can't with one brush dismiss the tuna fish can as being something utterly, totally disposable and automatically place it into the category of choslos. Yeah?
I'm just
So I have a couple of questions.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm conjugating this right, but the close, they were allowed to use and open that on Shabbos.
They could open that on Shabbos,
and
right.
And Moshe says, yes, they were able to use.
That's the Shulchan Aruch. That's the Gemara, that's the Shulchan Aruch, right.
But he never outright says two hands not equal to close.
No, he does.
Oh,
in other words, that one might have thought, he raises this, you know, so you might think that maybe tuna fish can't fly chosles, but he says, but that wouldn't be true, because people do use.
Okay, and then my other question is that I always understood it that removing the top created a kli, not that it destroyed a kli, but that it created
right.
a kli, because now you have like a cup, a vessel, or something of that sort, and that if you puncture it
right.
and make a hole so that it no longer be kli, contain water, do whatever, then that got rid of the problem.
Right, so that's going to be next stage in the Shir Be'ezus Hashem. But it's an important point to bring out. Rav Moshe totally does not look at it that way. I mean, we'll see in a few moments another Gadol B'Yisrael who looked at it your way and, you know, looked at tuna cans from the total opposite way of the spectrum. You know, but Rav Moshe did not hold that there was a bone problem, a building problem when it came to the tuna fish can. In other words, when the tuna fish can is sealed, Rav Moshe said, that's the tuna fish can fully formed. Now when you open up the tuna fish can, you're destroying the tuna fish can in the process of opening up. So the question which has to be treated, according to Rav Moshe, is the question of whether or not it's soser, it's demolishing. And Rav Moshe comes out, you know, bottom line, that it will be a problem of soser.
Is it possible that we think of tuna fish cans and we say, oh, no one will use a tuna fish can, but perhaps, you know, a corn can, or a coffee can that
right.
people do end
right.
up using
right.
so that if one said, okay, tuna fish, no, people would be nechshel in it because they would not differentiate.
It could be. I mean, I don't know. In the tshuva, I don't think he gets down to the level of this can, yes, this
that's
can, yes,
saying.
This can,
maybe
no.
That's why if
right.
there is annotation, for example, that coffee cans would be used,
right.
then it's not only the coffee can, it's
right, people take cans, they make them into pushkas, they make them into things
right.
for buttons, you know.
Or
if you have kids, right, you have kids in elementary school, so they come in, right. So, right, so, you know, and maybe a can is a can is a can. In other words, you know, you're right, I wouldn't use this can, but I would use that can. So to start getting down on the level of this can, yes, this can, no. Even in 2008, you know, you can't say dismissively, there's no such thing, you know, all these cans are disposable, they all fall into the category of choslas. And again, that very well could be why Rav Moshe, even down to 1986, you know, didn't change his mind on it. You know, you're right, I mean, probably more people in 1930s Russia used these cans, you know, over and over again, right? But you know, the phenomena hasn't disappeared, you know, up to our own day, right, 100%. No, so there Shulchan Aruch says that you could rip it. And the explanation given is that it's not a destruction. It's woven wicker. I mean, it's not fabric. It's woven like a wicker basket of some sort. So there the explanation given is that it's meant to be temporary. You know, it's meant to be ripped apart, so you're not really destroying anything. Right? To destroy something would have to be something substantive. But you know, so the question, Rav Moshe again says that there's no basis, though, for comparing choslis to a can. Yeah.
A can of soda was used.
Oh.
You puncture it with a can opener.
Right. Let's leave the juice and the soda can out for a little bit, because there's one more, I don't know if we'll get to it tonight, there's one more issue we have to talk about in terms of, you know, popping a soda can or something of that nature. Right.
Oh.
Right. No. Everything's meant to be open. The question is, are they meant to be thrown out afterwards? Right. Right. So let me outline that because that's let me address that because that's frequently discussed in these issues. The question of how you open it doesn't really make a difference. Meaning, if the problem is demolishing it, so the problem is going to be the fact that it has been opened. You know, whether you use the pull tab, or whether you use the can opener, whether you use the knife, or, you know, whether you're very talented, you can just kind of go like that and open it up, right? You know, use kishuf, whatever you do to open it up, right? You know, the question of how you open it shouldn't really make a difference. It's the question of the fact that it's going to be opened, which is going to be problematic. I'm sorry? Right, in other words...
But a full tab is not more considered a piece, two separate pieces.
No, it's because you're saying it was soldered on afterwards.
It's a separate piece already.
Right, I think... I hear what you're saying. In other words... Right now it's a unit. And again, the way Rav Moshe looked at it is you're destroying the unit which exists right now. Let's say you had a building, and the building also is, you know, various pieces that are put together. But if you demolish the building, that also would be an act of stira, you know, of demolishing. So I hear the point, but I don't think that it would make a difference. Yeah. Let me just take this one and you'll go.
Why does Rav Moshe see it as destroying a camp and not creating a camp when we all agree that the whole point is to get it open and to get what's inside?
Right.
The whole point is, if we're saying it's not goslos, it's because we want the camp.
Right. Okay.
So we want it open. Why wouldn't it be building and not destroying it?
Okay, so that's a perfect segue into the next part of the shiur. And we'll move right now, actually, from the Lower East Side to B'nai Brak, right? Just in all of a minute and a half. So the Chazon Ish has exactly that timing. Right? The Chazon Ish does not reference Rav Moshe's tshuva, right? I'm not sure if he would have known Rav Moshe's tshuva. The truth is, Rav Moshe wrote the tshuva in 1930, but it's published in the first chelik of the Igros Moshe, which came out, I think, in the 50s, right? I don't know exactly which year, I think in the 50s. Chazon Ish was Nifter in 55, I think, right? So I'm not sure if even, may not have known of the tshuva per se, but the Chazon Ish in his writings in Arach Chaim makes exactly that point. Says the Chazon Ish, before the can is opened, it's nothing. It's not a kli. Because what can you do with it? I mean, a tuna can that's unopened serves absolutely no purpose. It's a good hockey puck, I guess, but I mean, other than that, what's the point of a can which is closed? If you can't access the food inside of it, you know, it's not like a typical jar with a lid that you take on and put off. I mean, you know, you really can't access the food inside the jar right off. So says the Chazon Ish, before the can is opened, it's not a kli. When you open the can, you make it into a kli. And making it into a kli, says the Chazon Ish, is an act of bona. It's an act of building. So this is really really something that's it's a tremendous phenomenon. You have two gedolei olam, Rav Moshe Zatzal, the Chazon Ish Zatzal, who came to exactly the same problem. And they looked at the issue from diametrically opposed points of view. Right? Rav Moshe would hold that to open up the tuna can is a problem of destroying the can. The Chazon Ish holds that opening up the tuna can is a problem of making the can. Right? In other words, you know, they look at exactly the same issue. One holds that it's demolishing, that it's soser. The other holds that it's bona, that it's building something, right? Exactly, mamash, you know, minakotza, you know, it's 180 degrees different from one another. The one thing that they share in common is that they both thought it's also, right? You can't, one way or the other, you can't open up the can. The only question is, you know, what exactly is the malacha which is being violated in the process? Nonetheless, there's still a very big halacha l'maisa difference between Rav Moshe on the one hand and the Chazon Ish on the other hand. And this perspective is articulated by Rav Neubert Shlita in his Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. Rav Neubert, I think, if I'm not mistaken, does not even reference Rav Moshe's Tshuva in his Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. Again, Rav Neubert learned by Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in Eretz Yisrael, and his outlook is very much influenced by the poskim of Eretz Yisrael. Again, Chazon Ish was the Gadol HaPoskim, you know, the greatest among the poskim, you know, in Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Neubert, in his treatment of this topic in Shmir Shabbos Kelchosa, basically says as follows. Point number one, you can't open up cans on Shabbos. Okay? So far, the truth is that makes sense any way you slice it, right? You can't open cans according to Rav Moshe, you can't open cans according to the Chazon Ish. But then it says Rav Neubert, but you know, if you're stuck, Words, let's say, all of a sudden, you know, Shabbos for lunch, 20 unexpected guests show up at the door, and you go back into the kitchen, you look at the calendar, and you say, oh, yeah, that's right, this was supposed to be the Shabbos, where, you know, the 25 guests were coming over for Shabbos, and it was this Shabbos or next Shabbos, right? So, you know, you're in a tizzy, right, and all of a sudden you need stuff out of the cans in order to be able to serve them. So says Rav Neivert, you have an Eitzah. There is a way out. What's the way out? So says Rav Neivert, go take the can, puncture the bottom of the can, and then first, and then open up the top. So why, right? Again, puncture the bottom of the can. If it's tuna fish sitting in brine, you may want to put something under the can. This is not a halachic thing, but just a practical thing. Right? You may want to put something under the can after you puncture it, because there's going to be a little bit of leakage then. Right? Puncture, but he says, first, before you open up the can, puncture the bottom of the can, and then you can open up the top. Why does that make any sense? Where does that come from? So that is an application of the idea of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish held that the problem involved in opening up a can was making a kli, was making a utensil, a vessel. So now, by puncturing the bottom, you've assured that you will definitely not be making a kli by virtue of opening up the tap. Why? Because the minute you open up the tap and, whoa, you just transformed it into a kli. But it has a hole in the bottom. So a kli with a hole in the bottom, a vessel with a hole in the bottom, isn't a vessel that's worth anything. So there was never a point in time where this can was transformed into a vessel. So that's what Neubert says. If, what's that?
Yes, because if it was inverted, it still could be a cleat.
No, well, in us, yeah. If I puncture it. It only becomes a cleat when I open it enough that I can access the food. Right, so in other words, the minute I open enough that I can access the food, it has a hole in the bottom. Right, so in other words, there's never a point at which this becomes this, which is now a usable receptacle to be able to hold something. Right, so Rav Neubert says if you're in a pinch, right, in other words, you need the cans, so you can do that in order to be able to get at the food inside on Shabbos. Now we should point out that according to Rav Moshe, this does absolutely nothing, right? Because according to Rav Moshe, that the whole problem is soser, is demolishing. Good. So I demolished it twice. I demolished it once on the bottom, and then I demolished it on top. So that didn't absolutely nothing for me, right? It didn't help me at all, right? That's what we pointed out. Rav Neubert is not at all walking in, you know, the path of Rav Moshe with regard to this issue, because this Eitzah, this perspective, would not work at all. According to Rav Moshe, it only works from the point of view of the Chazon Ish, that the problem over here is one of making a kli, one of making a utensil. So if you damage the bottom of the can, the bottom of the can, you know, before taking off the top, so then there'll never be a point at which you've made this into a usable utensil. So again, that's you know, just to sum up, I mean, halacha lemaisa. All things being equal, it's a good idea to open up cans before Shabbos. According to Rav Moshe, there is no Eitzah, really. According to, you know, as much as you demolish it, again, even according to Rav Moshe, even if I don't just rip off the top, but I mamish, you know, I demolish the can, it doesn't help. The more I demolish it, the more I'm in violation, according to Rav Moshe, because exactly the Isser is the demolishing of the can. So according to Rav Moshe, there really is no way to get at the stuff inside the can. According to the Chazon Ish, also, better to open the can before Shabbos. At least there's this wiggle room that you have this Eitzah, this way of dealing with things, according to Rav Neubert. In the event that one needs to open up the can on Shabbos, it would seem that one could rely on Rav Neubert's heter. A, according to the Chazon Ish, it should certainly work. And B, even within Rav Moshe, we posited that, you know, maybe there's room to call cans choslos bisman hazeh. Again, Rav Moshe does not accept that. Certainly it's kedai to open, it's worthwhile to open up the can before Shabbos. But in the event that one's stuck, again, within the Chazon Ish, you have this Eitzah, And within Rav Moshe, perhaps, depending on the kind of can, one could argue that that to the extent to which most cans in our society are considered to be disposable, perhaps they could have a halach of choslos, even according to Rav Moshe. I don't think so, because it's still, it's disposable, it's just reconstituted. You know, in other words, you wouldn't use the can as such, you know. Again, occasionally you do, but I think most, the majority of people don't look to keep the can hanging around the house. You know, they'll... Right, but as recycling, I think for these purposes, is just disposing and just reusing it, you know, in some way. Yeah?
The ready-made
tuna, red salad, and... So those are in packets. Right.
How it comes off, and there's a clear plastic that's pasted on the rim that they have to drill off.
Right. I think, like the Tuv Tam salads, where you have that thing. Right, so that's actually analogous to what we spoke about last week with ripping the sugar packets, let's say on yogurt or something else like that, you know, any of those I think they're, what are they, foil, right? And as any of those foil things, you'd be allowed to take off on Shabbos without a problem. The Tuv Tam ones, right. Those should be permissible also. And the plastic things which you take off. Yeah, those should be permissible also. I mean, we'll talk a little bit about those when we talk about soda caps. Because it's a somewhat similar issue, but what's going to apply to them does not apply to these. There was another question? Let me just mention one more thing just before we break for tonight. Goes automatically, okay. A shiloh which comes up frequently in a lot of homes, sometimes even every Shabbos, and it's a relief to know that it's 100% mutter, uncorking a bottle is totally permissible. In other words, to take a cork out of a wine bottle or anything of that nature, removing the cork is not problematic. You say, why isn't it problematic? So I guess the typical Jewish style, the answer to that question is, well, why should it be problematic? In other words, all of the issues we've talked about up till now are something where you're destroying or breaking a pre-existent unit. Here, you're not breaking anything apart. You're basically just applying pressure to remove the cork from the bottle in which it's tightly wedged, right? So the use of a corkscrew, even a fancy corkscrew on Shabbos, a number of years ago, my in-laws got us something, I think it's called a rabbit, right? It's a spitz shibbe spitz, right? And for somebody who wants to get a doctorate, you know, in taking corks out of bottles, right, so you use this particular apparatus. So as complicated as they all are, there's absolutely nothing problematic about them. But even if the cork breaks, all you're doing is breaking a cork. In other words, you're not demolishing a utensil. In other words, you're not breaking the bottle, right? The cork doesn't really have the status of a utensil. You're not building a utensil, you're not going to break the cork in order to use the cork for anything new. Ripping off the paper which surrounds the cork is analogous to our discussion last week with ripping the sugar packets. So again, as long as you're careful, ideally, to avoid ripping the words, and again, even according to what we spoke about last week, even if you're not so careful with not ripping the words, you know, so ripping the paper, you know, which comes around the cork is not problematic on Shabbos. So just what comes out, halacha lemaisa, is that, you know, if you have a new bottle, an unopened bottle of wine, there's no reason to have to do anything with that bottle of wine prior to Shabbos. You don't have to rip the paper, you don't have to uncork it. You know, there's no special treatment which that a bottle of wine requires before Shabbos. At most, you know, maybe put it in the fridge, depending on what kind of wine it is. You know, so when it comes time Friday night to be able to make Kiddush, that the, you know, the wine should be cool, you know, when you're ready to serve it. But in terms of the uncorking, and even in terms of ripping off the paper, the removing of the paper and the like, the foil, whatever happens to be around it, that's not going to be problematic. Ironically, what's somewhat of a bigger issue is where you have grape juices, especially you know, some of the fancier, the sparkling grape juice, where they have a metal cap where you turn it, you break it off, and a little rim comes off. That we're going to talk about next week. That very well may be problematic, you know, in terms of, and we'll see what the issue is. Soda bottles, right? But soda bottles nowadays, usually it's not metal, it's plastic. So we'll see, Bez Hashem, next week, that the difference between metal and plastic may be a substantial difference. So that's going to be part of our discussion, Bez Hashem, next week. Until then, certainly, you can uncork your bottles, and we'll see in terms of soda bottles and the like, what the story is for next week. Yeah.